morning, early birds. You've caught The Worm, a podcast from Yellowstone Public Radio, rounding up reporting from our newsroom and Montana Public Radio. Today we have stories about how Gallatin and Park counties are responding to an increase in calls to 911 related to mental health and substance misuse, and Montana's newest plan to address climate change. It's Tuesday, February 18th. I'm your host, Jess Sheldahl. A dog that was missing for 9 days after a vehicle crash in Montana has been reunited with his Washington owner. Liz Smith, who lives outside Seattle, tells the Daily Interlake that her Chihuahua pug mix named Hank jumped out of an open window after Smith's truck crashed into a rock wall on Highway 93 on February 5th. Smith, police officials, and volunteers searched for the dog, which was found Friday in the Montana town of Lakeside. Hank had lost 6 pounds and was missing the sweater he was wearing, but was otherwise okay. Smith calls it a miracle. Law enforcement officials in Montana's fastest-growing county say the number of mental health and substance misuse-related calls to 911 is going up. Since 2009, a training program has been trying to help first responders work with mental health professionals to better assist people facing a crisis. Rachel Kramer reports.
Okay, good job, guys. Appreciate it.
Nice job.
We have one more group to go.
On a recent weekday morning, nearly 40 law enforcement officers, mental health professionals, and clergy from Gallatin and Park counties wrapped up the Crisis Intervention Team Academy in Bozeman. The week-long training aims to help first responders and other community members learn how to de-escalate situations related to mental health and substance misuse and better connect people in crisis to services. Participants put what they learned to the test by cycling through a series of simulations ranging from someone considering suicide to a noise complaint.
Who are you?
Hey, I'm Nick Redbird. I'm with the Sheriff's Office. What was your name?
Paulie.
The simulations often feel chaotic. In this one, a volunteer role player is walking back and forth holding a sword. A law enforcement officer tries to calm the situation while another quietly escorts the girlfriend out of the room.
Nobody wants to listen.
So nobody wants to listen to you?
No.
If you'd be willing to come with me, I could get somebody who'd be willing to listen to you.
CIT International, a nonprofit organization, developed the training several decades ago. Gallatin County was the first to bring the training to Montana in 2009, and since then, it's expanded to other parts of the state. Jim Anderson, a captain with the Gallatin County Sheriff's Office and the former director for CIT Montana, says 911 calls here related to mental health and substance misuse are growing in step with population growth. The number of people in Gallatin County increased 25% over the last decade.
In programs where they implement this, we see officer injuries reduced as a result of this program. We see injuries sustained by people suffering with mental illness reduced.
Anderson says they've also seen a drop in the number of calls for SWAT teams to come in as backup. Ryan Mattson with Western Montana Mental Health Center says this is his third year as a facilitator at the CIT Academy in Bozeman. He says the training has improved the way local law enforcement interacts with the public.
I've had lots of opportunities to see the Sheriff's Office and Bozeman PD come through and do a fantastic job with our clients. The way that they can communicate with them, get them to build a good rapport so that it's, you know, not always a struggle to work with individuals.
Jim Anderson with the Gallatin County Sheriff's Office says CIT training is available in most of the larger cities in Montana, but more work needs to be done to get it to communities in the rural parts of the state. He says that can be tough when resources are tight. With Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Rachel Kramer.
A third Republican says he will run for the party's nomination for Montana State Auditor. Scott Tuxbury announced his candidacy in a news release yesterday. He is an insurance underwriter who says he has worked to bring new insurance companies to Montana and design new insurance programs. Once Tuxbury files his paperwork with the state, he will join Nellie Nickel and Troy Downing as a candidate in the June 2nd GOP primary. State Representative Shane Morgeau is the only Democrat running so far for the open seat. Current state auditor Matt Rosendale is running for the U.S. House. Authorities are investigating a fire that destroyed the clubhouse at a country club in Big Fork. Eagle Bend Golf Club membership chairman Jim Fagan II tells the Daily Interlake it's a mystery to him how the fire started early Sunday. Fagan says the club and restaurant were closed over the weekend. The fire burned for about 3.5 hours before firefighters had it under control. Nobody was injured. Fagan says neither the golf course nor the carts were damaged. He says he anticipates the course will be open for play at the end of March or early April. A council appointed by Governor Steve Bullock released a list of recommendations for the state to address climate change and reduce greenhouse gases last week. The Climate Solutions Council consists of a diverse collection of stakeholders from different state agencies, energy utilities, and climate advocacy groups. Alex Sakirson, a Missoula-based freelance journalist, covered the council's drafting process for Montana Free Press. He spoke with Kayla DeRoche.
You wrote in your article that the panel rolled out the draft recommendations during a 2-day meeting in January in Missoula. So what did the council express as the ways that climate change is manifesting in Montana and how Montanans are feeling that effect?
Anytime you get this diverse a collection of viewpoints and experiences in a council of this nature, I think you're going to get a lot of different views on how immediate the threat is, how immediate the action needs to be, how this climate crisis is impacting people and to what extent. There were a lot of questions raised or a lot of points raised about community health concerns, not just physical health due to our wildfire seasons. I think that, the wildfire season a couple years ago and the smoke in Sealy Lake, it kind of underscored the serious health impacts that climate change can have. But I there was also a cognizance of the mental health impacts, and then of course the economic impacts to tourism, to small business, to everybody across the spectrum.
What ideas did they have for reducing carbon emissions?
That actually gets to an interesting point that a few of the council members and what public comment there was both days touched on, which was that only a portion of these recommendations directly address greenhouse gas emission reductions. A lot of what the council's recommendations around greenhouse gas reductions focused on were renewable energy incentives or a lot of updates or audits to the current electrical grid in Montana. And a lot of these recommendations on that directly address greenhouse gas reductions, generated some questions from members of the council. And I'm thinking specifically of the recommendation to increase the net metering cap from 50 kilowatts in the state to the number that was thrown out by the council during their deliberations that didn't wind up going into the recommendations was 250. And that got some pushback from David Hoffman with Northwestern Energy and from the energy co-ops or electrical co-ops here in the state. Mostly due to net metering being an ongoing legislative conversation as well. So,
yeah, and speaking of the need for more discussion, you pointed out in your article that there was a talk towards the end about tax breaks and incentives offered to renewable energy and reclamation sectors.
Quite a few of these recommendations are built around creating incentives. Al Ekblad actually raised the point during the second day's deliberations as more and more of these recommendations were focusing around incentives for renewable energy or incentives for communities or incentives for individuals to invest in renewable energy at the small home scale. This idea that anytime the state offers an incentive of that sort, in Ekblad's words, there's a loser somewhere in the political process. We've seen this with budget discussions in the legislature in recent years where, you know, someone, some program, some department winds up getting hit when you're trying to distribute money across the board in Montana and, you know, increasing the number of incentives towards, you know, a more climate friendly future seem to have touched off a conversation about, well, where's this money going to come from? If we're not increasing tax revenues, where are we going to get the money to fund these incentives without, you know, hitting the Department of Ed or hitting the Department of Health and Human Services? I mean, someone's going to, as Ekblad said, be the loser somewhere in this process unless there's an added conversation about where do we generate more state revenue to fund these initiatives.
That was Alex Sekirson with the Montana Free Press speaking with Kayla DeRoche. You can find a link to his full report on our website, ypradio.org. And that's what's happening in Montana today. Check in with Montana Public Radio's Montana Evening News for updates on the news of the day. For Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Jess Sheldahl. We'll have another episode of The Worm for you early birds tomorrow morning.
The Worm is produced by Jess Sheldahl for Yellowstone Public Radio. Theme music composed and recorded by Zach Jones at Rapscallion Recording. Meadowlark Call captured by Jay McGowan for the Macaulay Library. Partial funding for The Worm is provided by the Greater Montana Foundation, encouraging communication on issues, trends, and values of importance to Montana. More information about The Worm is available at ypradio.org.